The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. It is a Friday afternoon. It's a very pleasant day here in North Carolina. I've spent a little time in the woods picking some blackberries, and I just miss my aunt, which I talked about yesterday, who named me. I just remember her always baking, and blackberry pies is one of my favorite dishes that she was made. And so I was in the woods today picking blackberries. So it's a very pleasant day in North Carolina. I hope it's pleasant where you are as well. If you are one of those states that's experiencing one of the heat waves, please stay hydrated. That's the best thing that you can do, is stay cool as possible, but you want to make sure that you're drinking plenty of fluids and preferably water. Water is the best hydration source out there. So today we do have a guest scheduled. Hopefully we'll be able to link up with Mr. Hakai Shakur Amin, who is the CEO of Success Scholar, which is based in Baltimore, Maryland. We will be speaking with him today about the upcoming National Convention of the Oppressed. We talked a little bit about that on New Abolitionist Radio this past Wednesday night with our guest, Sister what was the sister name? I know her last name is Mohammed Hassani. Hassani Mohammed, who was attorney representing one of our murdered family members who was murdered in a jail. But she'll be participating in that as well. So we'll be talking to Mr. Ami today about the National Convention of the Oppressed, which will take place in Cleveland, Ohio this month. It'll be a 3-day convention, and it will run from July the 14th to the 17th. So you still have time if you want to attend, to get your tickets and make arrangements for travel if you need to travel. But that'll be going down in Cleveland on July 14th. It's the first day of the convention, and they have a number of well-known speakers and not so well-known speakers who will be attending the event. If you want more information, we have a link for you. But if you're not on the website, go to www.conventionoftheoppressed.org. That's conventionoftheoppressed.org. So we'll be hopefully able to hook up with Mr. Ami, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But we also have some news items for you today. Want to do some follow-up to a news story that I shared with you yesterday about Bill Clinton stalking the U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who by all appearances, from what I can tell, even though I feel like, you know, well, it's not that I feel like, it's because I know that in the past she has taken positions that I feel like overall supports the system of slavery in this country. But her past few jobs have really been dealing with, when she was an attorney in New York, dealing with Wall Street corruption, white collar crimes and things of that nature. Since she took over for Eric Holder, her office has prosecuted a number of public officials, like I talked about yesterday. So I got some follow up for that story today. It is being widely stated that this was inappropriate, that she should not have even taken the meeting. But I put the onus on Bill Clinton, because she didn't know. She had no plans to meet this dude. He just showed up and boarded her plane. See, the FBI security detail she had should have stopped this man in his tracks and not allow him to board the plane, given the current criminal investigation. Also, the Obama administration is trying to delay the release of State Department emails related to the Clinton Foundation. They want to keep these emails secret until after the November election. So it must be something in there that's pretty damning to for the current presumed Democrat nominee, Hillary Clinton. And again, going back to yesterday, man, why did Barack Obama even appoint this woman to his administration, considering, you know, the racism and white supremacy that was on full display in their campaign, talked about assassinating him more than once in codified language. And look, all the big mess that he's dealing with is all connected to her, and he still wants to endorse her. Come on, dude, what's going on? Did they threaten you, or did they threaten your children? Did they threaten Michelle? I just don't understand. It just defies logic of self-preservation. So another story, a 13-year-old Jewish girl with dual U.S. Israeli citizenship was killed in the West Bank of occupied Palestine in a house that probably belonged to a Palestinian before Israel started occupying Palestinian lands. And I'm asking the question, are the parents to blame for taking this child to a war zone? I know Israel hasn't declared war on the Palestinians, but they're waging war on the Palestinians. I know the Palestinians don't have their own state to be a nation for Israel to be declaring war against, but they still are a people. They are people without a nation, just like us here in the United States. Black people, we don't have a nation. Just be real about it. So, knowing all of this, why would you take your child? Why would you take your child to such a volatile area? So I blame the parents for putting that child in harm's way. And I also think this attack, and I don't justify the attack. This was a child. She, you know, just following her parents, doing what her parents tell her to do. So I don't blame the murdered child at all. But I am asking the question, was this attack retaliation for the killing of that Palestinian baby when that Israeli arsonist set that house on fire and that baby ended up getting killed, and he was set free earlier this month without charge? Well, I should say earlier last month. It's July 1st. We're in a new month. And he was set free without charge, and no mainstream media article that I have read has even brought up this point. Is this a retaliation killing? Is this a revenge killing for the Palestinian baby? All right, so those are some of the news stories that I will touch upon. Let me see if I can pull up and get our guests online. I thought I already had that up. Bear with me as I attempt to get him on the studio line. Let me go ahead and open the studio line number one. All right, so give me just a moment. By the way, if you have any questions or comments today, just give us a call either on the conference line. That is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to comment. The studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. So give me just a second as I attempt to connect with our guests and talk about this convention of the oppressed that is going to...
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time.
All right, so I kind of had that problem earlier when I tried to contact him prior to the show, so hopefully he will call in, we hope, but I'm not able to get through. But we are also next week going to speak to Malik Shabazz, Mr. Malik Shabazz, who is also the who's actually the convener of this conference. All right, so I'm unable to reach him. The phone line is open. Hopefully he'll call us. So let's just go ahead and get into these news stories. Now, as I stated, U.S. Attorney Lynch said was questioned, been questioned by a lot of different people about why did you take this meeting with Bill Clinton. You know, it just doesn't look good considering that Bill Clinton is at least, in the very least, a witness in the investigation against his wife's mishandling of classified government material by opting to use an unapproved, unsecured email server. And then also with the Clinton Foundation, they are being accused of taking donations from foreign countries and individuals, rich, wealthy businessmen, and then by making donations to the Clinton Foundation, often in terms of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and then getting their deals approved by Hillary over there at State. That's what's going on, and so it was just inappropriate, and I just chalk it up to bad judgment and, you know, her being taken by surprise and what have you, and her security detail not doing his job and stopping this man from getting to her, boarding her plane and what have you. So I don't put the onus on the Attorney General Loretta Lynch, although, you know, she should have just told him and been, if he'd have took it as rude, he'd have just had to take it as rude. But she said it won't happen again. But anyway, she was asked about this at a forum today, and this is what she had to say.
So when people heard what went down in Phoenix, a lot of people were like, I mean, friends, supporters, backers were saying, what on earth was she thinking talking to Bill Clinton? So, what on earth were you thinking? What happened?
Well, I think that's the question of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
And I think that's a perfectly reasonable question. I think that's the question that is called, you know, by what happened in Phoenix, because people have also wondered and raised questions about my role in the ultimate resolution of matters involving the investigation into the State Department emails. And to the extent that people have questions about that, about my role in that, certainly my meeting with him raises questions and concerns. And so, believe me, I completely get that question. And I think it is the question of the day. Mm-hmm. But I think the issue is, again, what is my role in how that matter is going to be resolved? And so let me be clear on how that is going to be resolved. I've gotten that question a lot also over time, and we usually don't go into those deliberations, but I do think it's important that people see what that process is like. As I've always indicated, the matter is being handled by career agents and investigators with the Department of Justice. They've had it since the beginning. They are independent.
Which predates your tenure as Attorney General.
It predates my tenure as Attorney General. It is the same team, and they are acting independently. They follow the law. They follow the facts. That team will make findings. That is to say, they will come up with a chronology of what happened, the factual scenario. They will make recommendations as to how to resolve what those facts lead to. The recommendations will be reviewed by career supervisors in the Department of Justice and in the FBI, and by the FBI director. And then, as is the common process, they present it to me, and I fully expect to accept their recommendations.
Now, what's interesting here is you say you fully expect to accept the recommendations. One thing people were saying this morning when the news broke was that you were quote, recusing yourself from mm-hmm. having any kind of role in the final determination. Is that the case? Is that what you're saying?
Well, a recusal would mean that I wouldn't even be briefed on what the findings were mm-hmm. or what the actions going forward would be. And while I don't have a role in those findings, in coming up with those findings or making those recommendations as to how to go forward, I'll be briefed on it, and I will be accepting their recommendations.
All right. So that was Attorney General Loretta Lynch answering questions at some kind of forum that was going on today about her meeting, which I'm told lasted about 30 minutes. She says they didn't discuss anything having to do with any of the investigations, and we might well just say the Clinton family. It ain't just Hillary Clinton. It's Chelsea Clinton. It's Bill Clinton. It's the whole entire crime family that is being investigated. So she should not, again, have taken that meeting. She acknowledged that she shouldn't have taken that meeting. She had more to say about it, but I just shared that short clip with you, and she said it won't happen again and that these are appropriate questions to be asked, because again, man, even a lay legal observer would know that it is inappropriate for any target of an investigation, any possible witness, any side target. It is just, it's inappropriate for that person to meet with another person who might be bringing those charges and whose office is prosecuting that case. And Bill Clinton, as I stated yesterday, is an attorney. He knew it was inappropriate. The White House is being asked about it. President Obama won't say nothing. The Clinton campaign been asked about it. They won't say nothing. Because what can they say? What can they say? And again, my position is I think this was a threat to Attorney General Loretta Lynch, because that's how the Clintons roll. That is how they roll. They have a long history of destroying people, all right, of making threats towards people. And this is just par for the course. And I just hope. Look, if Attorney General Lynch does what she says she's going to do, and the FBI recommends that they be indicted and prosecuted, and she allows for that, and it goes through like it's supposed to go through, if we had a system based on justice, this woman could be president. She would be the next president. She will forever go down in history as the person who was able to take down the Clinton crime family once and for all, because they've been like Teflon Dons and escaping all kind of stuff. But she would be ready to become president. You will have people on both sides of the aisle who will look at her as a woman of integrity, as a woman of honesty, and who doesn't play the partisan game when it comes to doing her job, because as I've stated, she just the Department of Justice got a conviction not that long ago of a Democratic congressman, Chaka Fatah, out of Pennsylvania. They taken down a couple of high-level police officers who were connected to the fundraiser for Mayor de Blasio in New York City, took down two Jewish businessmen also connected to him, and they probably gonna take him down too. So I just hope that this woman stays true to her track record of not holding any of these people above the law. And so right, Hillary Clinton might as well just drop out right now, because she's going to be indicted. There's no way that the FBI is going to conduct an investigation for over 1 year to come back and say, oh, we didn't find nothing. The FBI doesn't give immunity to key figures in any case. And then, you know, oh, we didn't find them. Well, what'd you get a dude immunity for? And the guy, the IT guy, who is the very central figure, and they better have protection around him. But the IT guy, Pagliano, He testified in the civil Freedom of Information Act request of one of the many lawsuits against the State Department pertaining to Hillary Clinton's emails that were kept on her private server and out of the government system. But he testified in this latest one when he was asked questions about the conversation he had with Hillary Clinton on setting it up and why it was set up. Over 125 times this dude pled the fifth. What does pleading the fifth mean? Well, it means that if I answer your question, I may incriminate myself in criminal wrongdoing, so I'm taking the fifth. Hillary Clinton is done. If Loretta Lynch, again, holds to her word that if the FBI and the Department of Justice career investigators recommend that she be indicted and everybody else along with this conspiracy, Hillary Clinton is toast. She might as well just go ahead and drop out now and save us taxpayers a whole bunch of money and not drag the country through a constitutional crisis and what have you. She should just drop out, but she doesn't care about what she harm she may do to the Democratic brand, and I'm glad it's being harmed. But she doesn't care. All she cares about is herself. She don't care about nobody else. The Clinton crime family don't care nothing about God, don't care nothing about country, don't care about nobody but themselves. So I don't expect her to drop out. I just really don't. But I hope she gets indicted before the Democratic convention, which will take place in Philadelphia this month. Now, continuing on this same report, give me just a moment. I'm hearing from a person. I'm going to take a short break. I'm trying to get our guests on the line. I'm hearing from the media contact person, so let me go ahead and get in touch with them. I'm wondering if they may have the wrong time or whatnot. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We'll be back on the other side.
Cleanup hitter, and that's a gentleman who has been around progressive circles for many years. He's been an activist for more years than many of, well, as many years as many of us have been alive, more years than some of us have been alive. The most remarkable thing to me that I know that this gentleman has done was he introduced to the television audience for the first time the Zapruder film regarding the Kennedy assassination on a Dick Cavett talk show, and we'll have to ask him when that was, many, many years ago. But anyway, the person I'm going to introduce is going to entertain us here for a few minutes. His name is Dick Gregory. Yeah. Dick Gregory, come on out.
Trick y'all. Y'all looking at me come from the back. I came from the front. I listened to you this morning, sister, and thought about had it not been for the civil rights movement that liberated all of us, you wouldn't have had this space. And when you think about how this system had messed up our mouth, I mean,
all right, that was a track. Just a little bit of track from Sincere Nokwari, God Life Beats. Do check out his website. Just Google God Life Beats, Sincere Nokwari, and you'll find that. I don't know what you call it was talking there. Dick Gregory talking there about the civil rights movement liberating somebody. I don't know about that, sir. I don't know where you're getting that from. But anyway, continuing on again, you know, this is a big deal. A lot of people, they try to say, you know, why people care about her emails and all this and that. And I mean, I just chalk that up to ignorance. All right. Just ignorance. Very serious crimes have been committed here. All right. A lot of corruption going on. And it's just normal. This is normal for the U.S. government. It's just normal. What's rare is that people get held accountable. But again, that is why I'm reserving judgment about the attorney general, because she seems to be a woman of integrity. So we'll see. We'll see. But I'm telling you, man, this can make or break her career. But the other side investigation that a lot of people are not discussing is the investigation into the Clinton Foundation. I'm on the Daily Caller, and yes, it is a right-wing conservative website. But unfortunately, if you want to get any kind of truth as it pertains to what's going on with these investigations, you're going to have to go to conservative media, because the liberal media doesn't seem interested in informing people about the true nature of what's going on, as they seem to be in the pockets of the Clintons as well, as we know from one of the State Department memos about her strategy in dealing with the media and her criminal investigation. Anyway, the Department of Justice officials filed a motion in federal court late Wednesday seeking a 27-month delay in producing correspondence between former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's four top aides and officials with the Clinton Foundation and Tenio Holdings, a closely allied public relations firm that Bill Clinton helped launch. If the court permits the delay, the public won't be able to read the communications until October of 2018, about 22 months into her prospective first term as president. This is why people talk about constitutional crisis and what have you. I'm just praying to the creator that this woman does not become the next CEO, but if she of USA Inc. But if she does, man, we're going to be looking at a big old mess in Congress. We're just simply going to be looking at a big old mess. But anyway, I talked about a story earlier this week about even Citizens United. That is the organization that sued to get all of this money out of politics, and they lost. You know, it's known as the Citizens United decision of the Supreme Court. But they have filed a lawsuit as well against the State Department to get information, and they were looking for email correspondence between Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton, who of course works for the foundation that bears her name. We call it the Clinton Foundation, but it's the Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea Clinton Foundation. And she was emailing her mom using a fake name, emailing her on that private server using a fake name. So again, I just don't understand why the Obama administration is trying to cover up for this woman. What does the Clintons have on President Obama? They must have something pretty bad on him, because his actions just do not make logical sense, except for he just a butter biscuit eating Negro who just carries out the wishes of white supremacists. There is no other logical explanation. And so now, even after they've been ordered to release this stuff, he wants them to hang on to it. Oh, don't make us release Hillary Clinton's emails and her top aides and them emailing the Clinton Foundation, which, you know, shows pretty much that the foundation was set up as a way for the Clinton Foundation or the Clintons to enrich themselves, using her position at the State Department. Why is President Obama covering up for these people? What do they have on him? Did they threaten his life? Did they threaten his family? Are they behind all those people running up in the White House and what have you? Send a message? I don't know. But I just know that his conduct just is not logical. It doesn't seem right. Something is wrong. Something is going on here. So that's the latest on that Clinton Foundation emails pertaining to the State Department and the other investigation. And the Obama administration ordered the Justice Department to file a a motion in court delaying the release of all of these emails. It's just ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. All right, so I'm going to take a station identification break, and when we come back, we'll jump on this next news item again. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call. The studio line is 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. For those already dialed in, just hit *6 and 1. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, airing on the Black Talk Radio Network live every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll be right back. Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back. We're experiencing some technical issues right now. This is like crazy. This ain't never happened before, so y'all bear with me. I did attempt to contact our guests again. I spoke to the intermediary, and we'll see if he's able to give us a call. All right, let me see if I can read this particular message. I tell you, man, the Daily Caller, don't go to the Daily Caller. I should have recalled the dailycaller.com, man. They will lock up your stuff. They will lock up your computer. So that's what I'm dealing with now, having to close that window, and I should have recalled that occurs. All right, unable to contact the scheduled guest. So next week we will be talking with Mr. Shabazz. I just got a confirmation from that. Plus, I've already spoken to him, so he will be on next week to talk about the Convention of the Oppressed. Apologies, but something must have occurred, and our guest is not able to be with us. So let's go ahead and move on to another story. If I can get my system to start working right while I'm waiting on that to come up. Here's an article I did not include in today's broadcast, but you can go to our Facebook page for Black Talk Media Project. That's Black Talk Media Project. That's the Facebook page for our nonprofit. But Fidel Castro had something to say last week about propaganda and the need for counter propaganda to be waged against Western media, because he talks about how the Western media always lies to the people, don't give them the full information, withholds a lot of facts from them. And he was just saying that there has to be a counter propaganda strategy for that. Now, that's an article that was published in globalresearch.ca is the website. But you can find a link to the article at blacktalkmediaproject.org. I shared it on that particular page. And because I make no secret that I view what we do through the Black Talk Media Project, through our various media operations, whether it's this digital radio station, whether it's assisting other people with their digital radio stations, whether it is writing blogs, whether it is our social media operations and distributing podcasts, I view this as a propaganda operation. All right, we are putting out information that we feel the people need in order to make right decisions, or in order to be fully informed about what's going on, not only in this country, but throughout the world. And like Malcolm X had in a video I seen of him years ago, which led to the creation of the Black Talk Media Project, he said the media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet because it controls the minds of the masses, make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. And that is simply their standard operating procedure, and always has been. So it's just a challenge. That's why I tell people, you know, when we try to figure out why are people act a certain way, or they believe certain things, or they're following behind a certain political party or certain politician, we have to be mindful of where they get their information from and who's in control of that propaganda outlet. And 9 times out of 10, it ain't us. It ain't an independent black person who's bringing them their news and information. No, it's just simply not. So I thought that was a very important piece from a world leader who white supremacists have been trying to take out for over 50 years, and he's still surviving, still standing, although he's in poor health. But Fidel Castro definitely knows the importance of propaganda. So with that said, let me move on to the next story. Now, this story right here, I don't mean to sound crass or callous or anything like that, but the facts are what they are. Now, you may have read about this 13-year-old Jewish girl. I linked to the New York Times article. She had U.S. citizenship as well as Jewish citizenship into Israel, which is a Jewish state. They don't, if you're a non-Jew, you aren't welcome there. You cannot be a citizen of that country if you're a non-Jew. All right. So the article says a Palestinian youth sneaked into a fortified Jewish settlement in the West Bank on Thursday, broke into a home, and stabbed to death a 13-year-old Israeli-American girl as she slept in bed before frantic security guards arrived and killed him. The girl, identified as Hala Yaffa Ariel, became the youngest Israeli victim of a 9-month wave of violence that has seen dozens of Palestinian attacks. The early morning stabbing carried out by a 17-year-old, and I got more information that says the guy was 14 years old. A high school dropout, was among the most brazen attacks so far, drawing angry accusations and calls from Israeli leaders for the world to condemn the incident. Now, I'm just keep scrolling down. I'm doing a little bit of speed reading right now, and I'm just trying to see if they bring up the fact that the Israeli government just let this guy go who burnt up a house containing a Palestinian family and caused the death of this baby. I forget how old. The baby wasn't even a year old yet, and they let this guy go with no charge. And so as I speed read through these buckets and buckets of words that the New York Times put out all about this one attack, I see no mention of that guy being released, and this possibly being retaliation for the killing of that Palestinian baby and the burning of that Palestinian family's home. Again, as they said, this is occupied territory. That's what settlements are. Israel is a settler nation, just like the United States started off as a settler nation, just like all of these European nations that are not on the continent of Europe started off their settler colonies. All right. And that's all Israel is one big giant settler colony. But a lot of people recognize that West Bank is part of Palestinian territory and not Israeli territory. And they continue, even though the United States government, the Obama administration, has called on the Israeli government to halt building on Palestinian lands in the West Bank and wherever else, they just continue to do what the hell they want to do, because see, they think that they the children of God and that they got a mandate from God to do whatever the hell they want to do, to take from other people, to kill other people, to oppress other people. And some people just ain't gonna just take it lying down, you know. So again, I'm not justifying the killing of this 13-year-old Jewish girl, but I'm recognizing that she shouldn't have been there to begin with. If she'd stayed her behind in the United States, again, I don't mean to blame her. It's her parents' fault. If her parents had stayed they behind in the United States and not gone over there trying to take somebody else's land and what have you, then this girl would still be alive, quite possibly, wouldn't she? Yes, she would. Who takes a child into a war zone? All right. Who puts their child's safety at risk just to take over somebody else's land? You know what I'm saying? So I believe the blame is solely on the parents. This is solely on the parents. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. And again, I see nobody talking about whether or not this was retaliation for the killing of that Palestinian baby and that Israeli killer being set free. Let me share this article with you that came out June the 1st, so exactly 1 month ago today, from Russia Today, RT.com. Israeli police have released a Jewish extremist that was held in administrative detention for almost 10 months on suspicion of playing a leading role in a terrorist group targeting Palestinians. Far-right activist Meir Edinger was released without being charged on Wednesday, although he is still under heavy restrictions, local media reported. He was initially taken into custody in August of last year for taking part in an arson attack in the West Bank that killed an 18-month-old baby boy when he and his parents were burnt alive. Several extremists were arrested at the time, two of which were eventually charged with the arson. Israel's internal security agency, the Shin Bet, did not elaborate on the reason for Edinger's release. The accused arsonist has been banned from Jerusalem and the town of Yad Ben Yamin for 6 months and the regions of Judea and Samaria for a year. He will also be subject to a night curfew and must refrain from contacting 92 people on the list of far-right activists. So they treat their terrorists in Israel just like the United States treats its racist white terrorists in this country, meaning that they have protected status. That is why the KKK membership is on the rise in this country. Hell, when you got government protection and nobody trying to freeze your funds and seize your funds and charge you with aiding and abetting terrorism and all of that, well, of course you're going to flourish. So we see the same thing going on in Israel, as we see here in terms of dealing with white terrorists. They have a different set of rules and regulations that they apply to them than they apply to everybody else. So just pathetic, man. It's just really pathetic. All right, let me see. That's pretty much it. It does not look like we will be able to speak to our guests, but go ahead and click on the link. You can get more information at the website, National Convention of the Oppressed. That is conventionoftheoppressed.org. Some of the speakers there will be, of course, Attorney Malik Shabazz will be there. He's the convener. Dr. Boyce Watkins will be there. Lamont Hill will be there. Cornel West will also be there. You'll have a couple of American Indian speakers who will also be there. It just seems like they got a whole lineup of different people from, I would say, different movements within the black community, people dealing with different ideologies, and this is being promoted as a black unity convention as well. And you know, I wish I've been able to speak to him today, but I'm sure Attorney Shabazz will be able to fully inform us next week on January the 7th when he will be a guest on Black Talk Radio News. So let me see if there's anything else. Tando Radio Show will be on air today at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I think that will conclude our live streaming for tonight, because I don't think the guys that's doing Race Treaty Radio wants to do it anymore. And, you know, that's totally their prerogative. So I don't think that they'll be on. But also, we do have new programming to look forward to next week. I'm particularly interested in the Code Breakers. They will be on Tuesday nights. I just can't recall the time. I think it's Tuesday nights starting at 10 o'clock p.m., I believe. But it's going to be on Tuesday nights. Code Breakers definitely will be focusing on racism and white supremacy and the victims of this system, and what people can do to minimize, I guess, the impact on them. So looking forward to that program. There's also a podcast that you may have seen posted on the website called Change Matters Solutions. They will start their live streaming also next Tuesday. And that program will be on at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I'm also in talks with some other program or host or producers of other programs who have shown interest in bringing their programs to our digital radio station, Black Talk Radio. All right, so definitely we'll be getting the statistical reports for the station out to our donors. We had some donations come in yesterday. Thank you to those. You know who you are. Usually it's the same people who are always donating from month to month. You are greatly appreciated. Every little bit helps. And so I'll be having those statistics. I've already started on sorting out the statistical data for the radio station and the different programs and whatnot. Then I'll get working on the social media report probably tomorrow or Sunday. And I'm still trying to work on resolving the issue with the podcast statistics, as I talked about yesterday. But again, you know, going back to what the president of Cuba had to say, Fidel Castro, it is very important, people, that we maintain mass communication that we are in control of. All right. That is, I cannot stress how important that is. They deliberately attacked and got rid of black radio through the 1996 Telecommunications Act, but they had been targeting it way before 1996. They knew. They took a look. You know, they study us just like some of us study them, all right? And they knew that black radio played a big role in informing people and organizing people in the 60s, in the 50s, in the 60s, and I would dare say the early 70s as well. You know, and that has always been a problem for them. They have also, from my studies and talking to people who worked in professionally in media at the time in the 60s and whatnot at a black radio station, they said that the FBI even infiltrated black radio stations, and you know, they were just reading what the FBI gave them to read about whatever black person they was targeting that day or that week or whatever and whatnot. So, you know, I just can't stress enough how important the work that we are engaged in is for us. And I also can't stress enough that it is not hard. What I do is not hard. It's not hard to me, and I should make that distinction, because, you know, that's my background, is in communications and radio and you know, just communications, period, different types of communication. So it wasn't hard for me. It did take me a year to figure out internet radio and launch this platform, but it's not hard. I've done all the hard work. I have tutorials. I have videos, this equipment. It doesn't have to be expensive. And we provide, you know, services to where we will build a radio podcasting platform for you that you can use to provide as a media platform for your city, for your town, for your county, for your state even. We can't just rely on Black Talk Radio Network being the only network or this station being the only station or the few stations associated through this platform. We know, man, we have a lot of work in front of us. There are millions upon millions of people who are not getting the correct information, and therefore they are not acting in a correct manner behind these enemy lines, and they are doing things that just defy logic. So again, if we understand the nature of propaganda, if we respect its power, then we can understand why our people are partly in a condition. I'm not going to blame it all on the programming, but part of the reason we are in this current sad condition is because, you know, the enemy is constantly programming us and feeding us wrong information. So that's all I got for you today. Thank you for taking time to tune in. We hope that you are letting your family members know, letting your friends, letting your coworkers know about this network called Black Talk Radio Network, which is new black media for the new millennium. I will be back on air Monday. It's the weekend. We know a lot of stuff happens on the weekend because of alcohol and people partying and drinking and driving and drugging and driving and all of that kind of stuff. People getting into arguments at the club, confrontations that sometimes turn deadly. And so, you know, it will behoove you that you never let your guard down behind these enemy lines. Even when, before I became somewhat codified, when I was a 17, 18 year old up in the club and whatnot, even then I had enough common sense to know I need to be watching everybody up in here, because you don't know when something is going to pop off, and you know, you might need to dive behind the car to seek cover any way you can. And so I don't go to those type of places anymore, but if you still go to those type of places, then it ain't even got to be like in a quote unquote ghetto place. You know, these sort of things happen in high scale places as well, man. So don't get caught sleeping. Don't get caught with your pants down, as they say. Be careful out there. Don't make it easy for these slave catchers to bring charges against you or give you tickets that's going to steal from you money from your family and from you. Just don't do it, man. Just do the best that you can, all right, to minimize your contact with slave catchers. All right. Peace and blessings to all. Y'all be safe.